that we walk with God, we walk in His Word, and we can please Him. I can please God. God, you imagine that? God. We talked about creation. We talked about some of those Old Testament miracles, not even getting into the New Testament miracles. Imagine this. Someone is crucified, beaten beyond recognition. Blood pours out. They put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he gets up and walks out. God. God. Our God. And we can please him. He cares about us. You ever look at the world? You ever look at where you fit on the earth, how much space you take up as compared to the rest of the earth? And then the world, the universe, the atmosphere, all this, you're like this right here. And God cares about you. Isn't that incredible? I remember when I was in college working at a restaurant, and one of my guys sneezed, and I said, God bless you. He says, don't bother God with that. It's just a sneeze. God's got more important things to worry about than that. Now, he said it being humorous. But imagine that God cares. How many hairs you have on your head. He's got them numbered. Some of y'all made it easy on them. That's not right, is it? So he says that we would abound more and more. You know, God wants our lives to get better and better. God wants us to walk with him more closely and more closely. You ever, you remember that old story, anecdote about the old couple that would ride in the pickup truck? And then, you know, they remember how when they were teenagers, you know, he used to sit in that on that bench seat and he'd be driving and she'd be right up next to him. Y'all remember those days? Now all these years later, she sits against her window and he sits against his. And what does she say? She says, you remember when we used to sit so close when we drive down the road? And he said, I didn't move, you did. I'm still sitting right here. God wants us to get closer and closer and abound more and more. We're sitting at the window. And he hadn't moved. He hadn't moved. He's given us this Bible. Hasn't changed. It's been good enough for 400 years. By the way, before it got into this, to the King James, it was around then. I mean, I appreciate the way they put it together for us in 1611, and you know, but it's been around since those days. These things have been written for thousands of years. God has given us the plan from the beginning. You know what the first plan was? You see that tree over there? Don't eat off of it. That's it. That wouldn't be so hard, would it? I mean, if it were me, I'd have put a fence around it and told her, don't even look at that tree. Read it. What does it say? She said it was good to look upon. It's when she started looking at it, got her to look. Let me just look at it a little bit more closely. She got up there, serpent hanging out of a tree. He says, get you some of this. It's good. And that's what it says in the Pokey translation. Exactly like that. He gave us the rules. Originally one rule. And then he says, all right, let me give you some more. Let me give you some more. Look, we'll narrow it down. How many of you work somewhere and there are rules at your job or where you used to work and you could say this rule was written because of Adam? That's the reason that rule's there. Right? Everybody's name, every rule has somebody's name attached to it. This is because Brother Bill, that's Bill's rule here. So God gave us rules. If we'll live by them, we'll abound more and more. That's what it said. And please God. Please God. Verse 2. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus? This is the will of God. What does God want? What does God want? Even your sanctification. That you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So God's will is holiness, purity, usefulness of me. and of you. Your sanctification, holiness, usefulness. Have you ever had to build up your ability to do something? And you look back and you say, well, back then I wouldn't have been able to do it, but now I can. I went to pick something up the other day. She wasn't even there. She's laughing. She doesn't even know what I'm talking about. And I reached down there to pick it up. And I said, that needs to stay right where it is. It doesn't need to move a bit. And I thought, I should flip it over and look at the other side. Nope. Still sitting right where it was. Now, let me tell you something. I could work out, build up, eat my cornflakes that morning, and I could flip it over. In fact, I have flipped things over like that before when I wasn't really ready, and what was the perforated a vertebrae? I think it's the term the doctor used. In other words, blew it out. And so when I got down there and it wasn't easily movable, I said, it'll stay, it'll be okay. What am I saying? I'm saying I could build up, I could work up to it. And I could get to the point where I could just roll that thing over, Brother Sonny. I'm not there today. What he's saying is, we need to build up and get better and get closer so that when that time comes, when we're needed, we'll be able. Remember the apostles, the disciples? Man comes to Jesus and says, you're a disciple. These guys over here, they can't do it. My son's got, we just talked about this. He throws himself around. He's got like epilepsy, has seizures. He says, these guys can't do it. They can't fix them. They tried. And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. In other words, you have to be ready before you can do something about it. Because if we don't get ready, if we don't learn the Word of God, if we're not bathing ourselves in prayer, if we're not walking with God and listening to His Spirit and trying to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, then when that time comes, when we're needed, we won't be able to help. Somebody will need us, and we won't be helpful, won't be useful. Guys, we're the church. This is where people come when they need help. We're the ones they call when they need somebody to get through to God. And what I'm telling you is we can live our lives in such a way when we pray, our prayers don't get through. You don't like that, do you? I don't either. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the way I treat my wife can hinder my prayers. That's exactly, specifically what he says. Your wives are saying, you better get right. Yeah. It affects my prayer, the way I treat her. I don't know why it doesn't say anything about the way she treats me. It does. Every one of you should know how, look at verse 4, to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We are so caught up on this vessel, this shell. But you know what? All it is a vessel for the soul. We are on the inside. This body, Paul calls it a tabernacle in another point. Here he calls it a vessel. I'm on the inside of this. One of these days, this part will die and go in a coffin, maybe in a grave, maybe be cremated, whatever. But this part's going to die. But I'm on the inside and I'm still alive. I'll still be alive. I'll go to heaven. And then one day I'll get a new body. You say, I need one? Is that what you say? But how are we possessing our vessel? Are we possessing this vessel in sanctification and honor? Look, it's not just when we get to heaven. That's what Paul's saying. Paul says your soul's saved. Your soul is righteous. And when we stand before God, that soul is going to be, stand before God pure, forgiven. But he said, how do we possess a vessel? What about here? Are we sanctified here? He goes on and he starts into the negative term, and he says, not in the lust of concupiscence or excess or gluttony, or in other words, whatever I want, as much of it as I want until I don't want it anymore. That's what that word means. Indulgence. And then he says in verse 6, not in deceit, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So not in excess and not in deceit. In sanctification and in honor. Verse number 7, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. How many of us, spend most of our time thinking about our Christianity, our lives, our walk with God, and we think about sin, all the sin. Oh, I feel so bad. I did this. I did that. It consumes our mind. The uncleanness. He said, God didn't call you to uncleanness. If you were to get up and testify right now, I've heard people testify about all their past. They tell all their past, and then all they have to say about now is that Jesus saved me. How about just say you were a sinner and tell us all about how Jesus saved you? But we talk about the sin and the failure, and guys, don't focus on your failures. God did not call us to uncleanness. He doesn't focus on our uncleanness. He called us to righteousness. Holiness. Verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Wow, isn't that great? Aren't you glad you belong to a church that loves one another? I can't express to you this morning, we had our brotherhood breakfast, and thank you for those who attended and those who didn't. Oh, well, you missed it. And it was great. Thank you so much. It was great food and great fellowship. But you know what? At the end of it, we talked about what we needed to do for projects for the men, and something came up for somebody in the church. And they said, how much funds do we have in the brotherhood? Well, we don't save up money for that stuff. And so the number was not enough. And somebody said, I'll fill the rest. And somebody said, I'll pay the whole thing. That's love. That's love. And I could tell you over and over and over again how this church has stepped forward for the brothers and sisters in the church to a need. And I'm going to tell you something. And some of y'all won't let us help you, but you need to. Let your brothers and sisters help you. They want to. It'll give them a blessing. It'll fulfill them in their ministries. But I just want you to know, that's what we're in. Paul said, I don't even have to tell you. Love one another. Look at that. As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He said, y'all already do it. You understand the concept of loving one another. When it comes to that, this church does what this church ought to do. I won't say we never miss an opportunity, but any opportunity that we're aware of, I'm going to tell you something, people jump and step up and take care of it. And what a wonderful, what a pleasure, what a privilege it is to be part of a body of believers that does that. He goes on in verse number 10, and he says, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He says, let it grow, grow, grow. Don't get to the point where you say, you know what, I've done enough. I've helped enough people. I've given enough. More and more. He says, just do, if you can do more, do more. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, verse 11, is that the one you were looking forward to?
Amen. I love that scripture.
He says, study to be quiet. You know what that tells me? That tells me that it's not natural. That's not. It's not natural for us to keep our nose out of other people's business. Y'all read it? And do your own business. Study, in other words, you have to be intentional. You have to be deliberate. You have to be diligent to study to be quiet. Now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about just talking in general? No. Talking about other people. Or telling people how to do their thing, telling people their business. Study to be quiet. Work at minding your own business. Wow, Paul, thank you. Now, he just told us to love one another. He just told us to increase our love for one another. And if I love you and I see you doing wrong, won't I tell you, hey, knothead, knock it off? Wouldn't that be right? He says, you know, there's a time and a place. And he uses a term in verse number one, the term exhort. You know what the term exhort means? The term exhort means to call near. We usually think of exhort and we say, well, it means to lift up. Well, it actually means that I call you real close and I get right in your ear and I tell you what the problem is. You see, for me to stand up here and scold you, preach to you about something that you and I know, and nobody else knows, but I get up here and just chomp at you, that's not exhortation. But if I come to you one-on-one and I say, hey, I'm aware of what's going on in your life and it's going to hurt you if you don't get right. That's exhortation. But he says we need to study to be quiet. We need to know when to speak up and when to shut up. How many of us are real good at that? I'm getting better at it. I really am getting better at that. But he says it's something you have to practice, you have to study, you have to work at. And so you say, I'm a failure. Well, I'm always in somebody else's business. Well, then you need to study to be quiet. And do your own business. I know that on Sunday morning in churches all across America, Willie Nelson is quoted. But that song he sings says, if you mind your business, you won't be minding mine. In fact, he said, if you'll mind your business, you'll be busy all the time. Now, that's Bible right there, ain't it? That's scriptural. That's what he said. He says, study to be quiet and do your own business. Wow. Y'all didn't know that came out of the Bible, did you? He says, and stay busy. Work with your hands. Stay busy. Be busy doing stuff. James 1:19 says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. We need to listen. We don't always have to have something to say. In fact, wouldn't it be great if you just sat there and you didn't say anything until people said to you, I know you got something to say. I know you have an idea. I know you have a thought. Tell me what you're thinking. And you're thinking, I better not say what I'm going to say. And I always tell you, trust that instinct. Trust that. If you don't think you should say it, don't say it. It's a lesson that's hard learned, isn't it? But verse 12, he says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Look at what he says. Those who are outside the church, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. He says we need to be busy doing what we're supposed to do so that we'll have the credibility with people. So that they won't look at us and say we're lazy. They need to see that we're willing to work. They need to see that we're diligent in our work instead of just minding everybody else's business and talking about everybody else. I think it was Ben Franklin who said, well done is better than well said. We need to be busy doing our work and have credibility. Show them we're not lazy. Earn their respect. Isn't that how it goes, where you grew up, where you worked, when somebody told you to do something and you saw that they were lazy, you said, they tell me to do everything, but they don't do anything. That's called a boss. And then you came across somebody who said, you need to do that, and you saw they were working just as hard. That's called a leader. It's a difference. He says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. He says, here's an idea. They have a stimulus check comes out every Friday if you go to work. Isn't that a great idea? Wow. I think there was a Wendy's that had a sign that says, stimulus check every 2 weeks. Apply within. Yeah. Get a job. See how that changes your finances. That's what he's saying. He says, not only will it help your reputation and your credibility, it'll help your pocket. It'll help you have what you need. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Look, he says, brothers and sisters, y'all need to know these people that have died, they say sleep. Jesus also used that term in speaking about Lazarus. He sleepeth. But he says that you not have sorrow. And look at this term, last part of verse 13, as others which have no hope. There's no reason for us to be hopeless. I love that song. It was beautiful. Look for me. Because I'll be there too. I thought of Squire when he was here singing that song. Look for me. I'll be there too. By the way, you sing it better than he does. I'm so excited about going to heaven. I'm excited about going to heaven and seeing all those people that I missed from here. But he says, don't be ignorant concerning those who are asleep. Look at what he says in verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Right? We're not going to get there first. They are. They'll be there waiting for us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's an outrageous statement, isn't it? Right? I said, I do a funeral service, and I say, one day, there's going to be one of these services for every one of us in this room. Maybe not. Maybe we'll just skip the funeral. Well, I've already paid for mine. Who cares? You're willing to give that up to fly through the air? I mean, I am. Get raptured in the Lord. But here, hold on a second. That's only for those who believe. That's only for those who have put our faith in Jesus Christ and accepted Him as Savior. So you can go too. But you're going to have to accept Christ first. See, right now you can put your faith in Christ, say, God, I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died to forgive my sins and rose again the third day. And I put my faith in you and ask you to forgive my sins. And I give my life to you. By putting your faith in him, by asking forgiveness, he saves your soul. He writes your name in the book of life. And we're going. Then we start working on that sanctification and possessing this vessel in honor. No matter how that goes, we still get to go there. Because God's not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's not focused. We get caught up, and I'm afraid it's the church's fault. It's a lot of times it's the preacher's fault. All we think about, we feel guilty because of all the sin. And we think of all of our failures, right? That's all we think about. Leave that behind. It's forgiven. It's washed away. You're not that person anymore. And let that be in the past. Take the next step in faith. We have hope toward our entrance in heaven. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see, this is intended for comfort. This is intended for encouragement. We should be encouraged and to know that God cares about us. He cares. It matters to Him how we do. Our pain matters to Him. We pray and say, God, give relief. Take away the pain. Say, God, why didn't you take away the pain? Well, it matters to Him. If he doesn't say yes, there's a reason. How many of you say no to your kids just so you can? I learned a long time ago in business, when I was managing restaurants in Orlando, that the number one goal was to say yes to a customer. Lady came in, and we were a sandwich, like Subway sandwich, you know that. And somebody come in and say, this was a conference, this was not a real deal. Can I have a cheeseburger? We don't sell cheeseburgers. But in that conference, they said, but if you'll be smart about it, you can say it's going to take 5 minutes, and then you run to Wendy's across the street and come back with a cheeseburger. You see, the idea was just to serve. Serve. Say yes. Can you say yes? If you can say yes, say yes. God said it this way. Which of you, if your son came and asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? Or if your son asked you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? He said, no. But you, being sinful, being evil, having the capacity to do wrong, can do good. And your Heavenly Father, who has no capacity to do wrong, and He give you all those things. God cares. God loves you. So when we pray and God doesn't answer it the way we want, just understand there's a purpose. And I don't know the purpose. I don't have the answer to that. But I know there is a purpose. I look back on my life, and I'm going to finish in just a second. Y'all ready to go? You say, preacher, when you get down here, you're supposed to quit. I look back on my life and things that I don't, when it was happening, I didn't understand how. I didn't understand why. I didn't understand the path. I look back now and I say, wow, God just worked it all out. I had no idea this is how life would be today. God didn't wake up this morning and go, wow, Derek, I'm shocked. He already had all those steps ordered. The only piece that was missing was my cooperation. We need to trust Him with our salvation and with right now. Let's stand. Father, we look forward to that day when the trumpet sounds and the shout, the ascension of all those who put our faith in You, the rapture. God, we love You. We believe You. We trust You. We want to follow You. We want to possess our vessels in sanctification, usefulness, holiness, and honor, reflecting who You are and who we are in Christ. So God, I pray right now that You will have Your perfect way in each of our lives. Father, if there's anyone here without Christ as their Savior, that right now they will answer that call to You and be saved. Maybe it's someone who needs to make that step of surrender and be baptized, burying their past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Or maybe someone who just needs to get serious about walking in faith. Lord, every one of us in this room today surrenders to You. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. What's on your heart? What do you need today? Talk to God about it. Right now, from your heart to God's heart. Just you and God. All right. Anything else before we're dismissed? Okay, glad you're here today. Glad you came. Good to have visitors and good to have people back. We've missed you. We understand and we've not given up our support of you. And we're glad you're back. And we're glad that you've supported us through this time. Is there any testimony, anything? All right. Let's go to the Lord dismissal prayer. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock tonight is our monthly business meeting. And so if you'd like to be part of that, we encourage you to be back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask if you would. Brother Andy Keel, dismiss us, please.